welcome back to another episode of Shifting Schools Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Udick, along with my co-host, Tricia Friedman, who is off consulting today. We support schools globally in shifting practices, mindsets, and strategies in support of preparing students for their future, not our past. And today, I am super excited for this episode as I chat with the CEO and CTO of ProfessorAI.co, a new AI startup that is launching here in April to support AP students and educators through their AP courses. But the real reason I'm excited to have all of you here from the CEO and CTO of this company is because the oldest employee is 17 years old. That's right. This AI startup is created by 11th graders who, as you will soon hear, have a vision and drive to create something meaningful for others. Full disclosure, before we get into today's episode, I am a mentor and investor in Professor AI. By investor, I mean I paid for some swag at the conference they attended here in the Seattle area back in February. Their first conference and their first time getting their product in front of educators. A big thank you to NCCE conference organizers for supporting this student startup and getting a booth at the conference. And of course, a shout out also goes to Lake Washington School District and the past and current teachers of these students who continue to support them in their journey of entrepreneurship. And you'll get to hear about some of that today in the podcast as well. I do have to tell you, I've seen what they are working on, and it's pretty freaking cool. And I'm excited to have them tell you more about their product and their hopes for the future, and even what they have already accomplished. I also want to remind listeners that you have students who are doing incredible work in schools. And if you think their story needs to be told to a larger audience, please do reach out to us. We love chatting with students and sharing their stories so we can all learn with them and from them on their life's journey. Before we get to today's incredible interview, though, here's a quick word from today's show sponsors. This episode is sponsored by Libra Technologies. Boost staff morale with your school or district with Libra. Imagine a place where every staff member feels seen, heard, and connected. Leveraging Libra AI helps leaders create that reality, facilitating moments that bring your educational community closer, celebrating every victory together. Let's turn your school into a connected community. For more information and a free demo, contact me at jeff@shiftingschools.com today. All right. And with that, I'm super excited to bring you Purdue and Abhay, two 11th graders and the brains behind ProfessorAI.co, an AI for AP teachers and students. Support. And with that, on with the show. All right. Welcome back to another Shifting Schools podcast. I am so excited for today's guests. Well, I don't know if I want to give it away or if I just want to jump into the podcast. I don't know what's the best way to do this. I have the creators of a new AI startup called Professor AI that is supporting kids with the AP exam, being a tutor and with AP courses. And here's the best part, folks. They are 11th graders in high school, and they have created an incredible app that I have had the privilege and pleasure to support them with, get them out to our local conference here where they got to be in front of some educators. We'll talk about that. But enough, I want to get their voices on here. So today we have the CEO, Purdue. I call him PK, but we have Purdue here with us, and we have Abhay here with us. Who's Abhay, what are you? You the chief technology officer?
So yeah, CTO.
CTO, baby. Yes. Yeah, CTO, chief technology officer. Well, Purdue, let's start with you. Talk a little bit about why Professor AI? Where did this idea come from? Tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, for sure. First of all, thanks, Jeff, for having me on. Really appreciate that. I thought of this idea when I was at Harvard last summer. So I was just taking a bunch of courses, and I was just sitting in a room. I was on call with Abhay, actually.
So wait a minute. You're an 11th grader in high school, and you're taking classes at Harvard?
Yeah. I went there for the summer
for like 3 months. Just to take classes?
Yeah, they offer programs, so I got selected. Okay. And then, you know, we're just taking a bunch of courses. The coursework there is pretty easy. So most of it was just like, you know, me and Abhay were working on side projects, you know, just to build up our extracurriculars, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, we're on call one day and we're thinking of ideas. And one of the two a day, some college kids at Harvard they made some kind of like assistant, like AI assistant to kind of help you with your microeconomics work. And they eventually turned it into like the Faster Reader app, whatever, something random, right? But what that kind of sparked my ideas of like, okay, cool. So I have an AI assistant. And the biggest thing for entrepreneurship and to build an idea that we can scale is that VCs and investors are looking for is founder market fit. And now founder market fit, in essence, basically means like, why are you the right person to solve this problem? So for us being students and 11th grade students, our industry experience is limited, right? So we're like, what do we know best? We know students best, okay? So we know sports best, we know gaming best, right? So we're like, how can we address those kind of problems? And so deep in looking deeper, I was like, I was kind of analyzing just like the things that me and my friends talk about, what kind of problems do we face? And one thing we realized is if you've ever walked through just the hallways during passing periods at just any high school, the only thing every kid is talking about is what happened in their class. Did they study for their test? What happened in the test? Oh, I failed this test. Oh, I did super good in this test. Most likely it's always failing the test, right? It's always about
who can I copy off of because I forgot to do my homework.
Exactly. Yo, you were first period, man. How was the calc test? Yeah. And then they're the ones in seventh period trying to study off of them, right?
It's like,
yo, yeah, I couldn't study, dude. I don't know how to do this, or I don't understand this question. What equations should I be learning? It's all of these. Yeah. And we're like, okay, if the first thing everyone talks about is always their AP classes, right? And then it's always about some other random stuff. And oftentimes the random stuff they're talking about is only during lunch or after school or by themselves. So we're like, what if we make some kind of AI assistant that can help kids with their AP work? Initially, it was just like a side college project where me and Albert were like, let's just build it out. Let's see how it works, blah, blah, blah. On actually like doing our research into it, we kind of realized how big of a market this is and how big of a problem this really is. The CIO, Aditya Dankara, that we onboarded a couple months in, both of us had extensive leadership positions. We worked with OSPI before, a lot of educational positions. And we realized the discrepancy between educational resources allocated between Western and Eastern Washington. And Western Washington just being that much, has just that much more resources, while Eastern Washington, like some of the kids I was talking to there, they're happy they got Chromebooks, let alone softwares and everything else. Completely ignore that, right? Some people just got Word this year. Like they're still new to that. And that's when we realized like, this discrepancy is massive, but how could we like address this? And that's when we were like, okay, this problem is massive. Our solution could definitely make an impact. Let's just go full steam ahead into this. So that's kind of how we thought of the problem.
I like that. Abhay, talk a little bit about how you started creating this, what's running the back end of it, and just some of the, what are some of the details of how this AI works?
Well, yeah. When me and Pritter were discussing like the details of how this would work, like I remember too, we were on like phone call and he was moving around the Harvard campus somewhere. I was at this desk and I was like, you know, okay, so like the biggest problem with AI and like education right now is like the fact that stuff hallucinates, right? ChatGPT hallucinates and everything. And then we were like, okay, how can we fix this? Like, and I was saying like, and then I was saying, okay, maybe we can give it study guides and this and that and that and this. And then Pritter was like, oh, what if we give it like class material? And then I was like, well, that's a good idea. Let's just do textbooks, right? So that's kind of what's powering our system, which is AP verified textbooks powers the back end of our system so that every response that you get from our AI tutor is 100% factually accurate. And so that's one of the biggest things that are of our back end. On top of that, we have a bunch of other features like, you know, you can access the web for web resources, and then you can also, you know, chat with specific pages in the textbook. And then you can also, we also have an answering engine so you can get right answers to your math problems, physics problems, chem problems, etc. And so those type of things, you know, that was just kind of stuff we built on top of that. But the base of our system relies on the fact that we have 100% accurate information.
And these textbooks you're using are open source textbooks, right? They're like Creative Commons open source.
Textbooks
that you guys found.
Yeah, we found them. We have a license to use them. We have a Creative Commons license to use them. And so, yeah, that's what powers our system, basically.
Okay, awesome. Can you talk a little bit about, because one of my favorite things is how you overcame the hallucinations, because we hear this a lot, especially with math problems. And you're using ChatGPT in the back end, right? Your API is coming out of ChatGPT. So it's the engine that's driving everything. And we know that there are, especially around math problems, there's two things that teachers are constantly complaining about with ChatGPT. Is one, it doesn't get the answer right to begin with. Or second of all, it doesn't give an accurate description of how to solve the problem or give you know, students the next best step to take when solving a problem. Can you talk a little bit about how you solved that in your AI?
So yeah, you know, after tackling hallucination, like I was just messing with a very early version of our system. And then I was like, okay, I guess it's time. I was working on math while I was doing it. So I was like, all right, just time to try this math problem out. And it was pretty bad, right? Because it didn't work then.
Yeah.
But what we realized was the ChatGPT like API that we use in the background, like the ChatGPT itself is really bad at math, right? Like you said. And so what we were doing essentially was getting a system like, you teachers out there have definitely heard of like PhotoMath, right? Where you snap a picture of a problem and then it analyzes your thing. You guys have definitely heard of like PhotoMath, right? Where it just snaps your picture of your problem and then it analyzes your entire the equation and then gives you an answer, like a right answer, right? So ChatGPT can't do that. But we built essentially we built a connection to Wolfram Alpha that a lot of people definitely know, right? And Wolfram Alpha, right, essentially, we paired our AP answering system with Wolfram Alpha. So the equations, the actual problem solving bit that needs to happen is 100% works because that's what Wolfram Alpha takes care of. And then our AI uses the steps and the answers and the question, all the input and inputs, outputs that we get from Wolfram Alpha to explain it in like an AP way. So for example, if I said something like, answer this AP FRQ, right? And for like a math question, the actual equation part of it that it needs to answer, it'll go to Wolfram and then the rest of it I'll get. And then the answer to it, I'll get in an AP way, like the exact way I would do to get a 5 on an exam. Essentially. Yeah. So that's how we combat.
Is it pulling those answers out of the textbook then? Like once it solves the equation, it's then relying on the open source textbooks that you've uploaded to help it support it in creating the
basically how
to solve that problem.
Basically, yeah. So for example, if I said something like, okay, can you find me the derivative of this? Okay. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like a three-step process essentially. First, it understands what you're asking, right? So it has to do three things. It has to get the right answer, it has to not hallucinate, and it has to explain it. Because the students have to learn, right?
Right.
And so first, it, you know, gets the actual answer, understands how to explain it to the user. Then it pulls the relevant information from the textbook. So like the chapter on derivatives, right? So it pulls that out, understands how to explain it. And on top of that, and then it actually does the actual output and printing to the user. Mm. That's essentially what it does.
Yeah, I love that. PK, talk to us a little bit about where you guys are so far. You say that this last year, last summer is when you guys kind of hatched the plan that this might be something you want to do. You and Abhay here get together. Kind of talk us through what's happened in the last, whatever you're in now, 8 months, 9 months of development of how things kind of rolled out for you.
Yeah. Closing on the 7th month now. So 7th month just started being March.
Okay.
Thought of the idea. We thought of it in like June, July almost, but we were working on other research projects at the time. So we didn't actually act upon it. We were working on actually surprisingly something in the school space as well, but working on school security and a system for school security. So we just did a whole research project on that with UW and MIT. But in September, is like early September, maybe super late August is when we like actually started the project. So since then, the biggest thing is we have a base MVP and it works. It works pretty well. The AI, the functionality is all there. Now we're working on fine-tuning our models, refining the actions, making all the new UI for everybody so we can have a beta, which will be done in about 2.5-3 weeks, give or take. So by April, at the very latest, product is going to be out for students and teachers to try it out, get the hang of it, and see what's up, really. Following that, what we're planning to do is, since for our beta, all of the features for students are going to be implemented, we're going to develop all of our features for teachers, school mode, AutoGrader, some of the big ones. And once those are developed, you know, then we can actually begin our sales cycle. But, you know, we have a working prototype. That's what we're able to display at ITC. So it's pretty nice.
Yeah. And talk a little bit about like one of your things is because you found that there is such a discrepancy, you know, just in our own state of Washington State. But of course, that discrepancy happens across the US and across the world as well. And part of you wanting to do this was to help support, you know, kids that don't have those resources. So talk a little bit about like the model that you want to have where there's, you know, always some type of free version for those kids that need the support the most.
Yeah. So we have a freemium service. So kids can go try out our product. And then if they want to, they can continue to pay for it. Now, the good part about it is even our most expensive plan, right, is cheaper than one session with a tutor for an hour. Except we give you access 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 30 days a month, right? So that's something that's significantly more affordable for families in like very rural places that we haven't implemented our products into from the district perspective yet. So they can have access to everything, right? But the goal is eventually we can want to get even our enterprise costs down to so low where any school anywhere can really afford it. You know, so yeah. Families don't even have to worry about it. But it's like we've implemented a free model. So, you know, those kids aren't missing out on the resources, right? Mm-hmm. Our goal is to level the playing field. Because sure, we could go to all these big private schools and all the most wealthy districts, but the kids in like the middle of nowhere and the very rural places are still missing out, right? So we want to help bridge that gap through this product, essentially.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that is such a unique thing to be focusing in on, for sure. Talk a little bit about, because I mean, we all know, I mean, the background of the two of you, you're 11th graders in high school, and you're creating this stuff because, you know, in the summertime, everybody just goes to Harvard to take classes, because why wouldn't you? But talk a little bit about, I mean, so let's start with, because I mean, I know the story, so I'm trying to just figure out how to get our listeners to hear it.
Of course.
But talk a little bit about that. We know that it's expensive to run these AIs. Talk a little bit how you got hooked up with Microsoft and how they're supporting you in this.
Yeah. So Microsoft has an exclusive startup program. And as part of the program, you get about a couple hundred thousand dollars worth of benefits. The biggest one for us being OpenAI credits, which OpenAI is a company that powers ChatGPT,
right,
and Microsoft Azure credits. And Microsoft Azure is a Microsoft cloud provider. So through those credits, we're able to basically run our AI for free for at least like another year or two, because we just have so much credits to that. So just through connections, we're able to find some people who are able to endorse us, connect us as part of their base program. And we got accepted, thankfully. So, you know, they're sponsoring us in that way. And now our goal is to get into their secondary program, which is the Microsoft Pegasus program. And now if we get into that, they're going to give us millions of dollars worth of credits. So
that's awesome.
It's just they're really helping us, you know, empowering us to support our mission, you know, and actually like making that a reality. And that's how they're supporting us.
I love that. Talk a little bit too. I know both of you, like I think Abhay say in 3 days, you're headed to New York. I'm so pumped for you guys. Tell our listeners a little bit about why you are headed to New York in 3 days.
Yeah. So our company has got into an accelerator program. For those of you guys who aren't familiar, a startup accelerator or incubator is basically kind of like an organization that funds your company, gives you money, invests in it. They have their massive panels of professional advisors and people who have been through the entrepreneurial process, had multiple 9-10-figure exits even, right? Who will just guide you, invest in you, and just help you scale and grow your company. And so we got into one called Antler. It's a global program. It's pretty competitive. We were one of 70 companies out of 5,000 applications that got selected. So it's a very, very low acceptance rate. And so for that, you know, me and Abhay are headed to New York for about 3 months to fulfill the program. And hopefully at the end, we get a good investment out of it. So,
yeah. Thank you for tuning into Shifting Schools. Let's pause our discussion to spotlight Libra HQ, a breakthrough in using AI to deepen connections within organizations. Imagine an environment where every staff member feels truly seen and valued. This is the heart of Libra's mission. Libra transforms how leaders celebrate and recognize the personal and professional milestones of their team members. It's not just about reminders. Libra's AI dives deeper, offering insight into enhanced team cohesion and promote a culture where support and acknowledgement are paramount. Picture a school where every individual is acknowledged, from work achievements to personal victories, creating a culture of appreciation in just minutes a day. In these challenging times, where the demands on educators have never been higher, Libra offers a way for school leaders to lead with true empathy and compassion, ensuring every team member feels an integral part of their community's success. Discover how Libra can revolutionize your school's culture. For a demo, contact me at jeff@shiftingschools.com. Let's build a future where every educator and staff member feels connected and valued. And now, let's get back to our conversation. So how long are you going to be in New York? 3 months?
Yeah. Wow. We're coming back in June.
Back in June. Wow. And you're still doing, of course, high school during all this time too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just said goodbye to everybody, my teachers, all my friends.
You said goodbye this week, huh?
It's my last day of school.
Awesome. And so, I mean, and talk about that. Like, your high school has played a role in this and supporting you. You guys are taking online classes. Abhay, I think you're doing full Running Start now. Yeah. And so there's just a lot of ways that the school has supported you in doing this as well, yeah?
100%. Yeah,
for sure. I don't think I could have... I'm a full-time student at Bellevue College, but do the Running Start program, right?
Right.
So I essentially, I have a lot of time throughout the day to like actually work on, you know, like Professor AI and things like that. If I went to high school, like for full-time without like Running Start, I guarantee you, we could have not had an MVP ready by now.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm really thankful for like the whole Running Start program in general. They really helped me and like, you know, some of the CIO and the rest of the team as well, even Purdue as well, to, you know, save our time and really optimize our time accordingly.
So yeah,
we can ship this product out.
Yeah. And Purdue, I knew you were taking one class still at the school. So are you going to be doing that class online while you're in New York?
So I was able to make an arrangement with my teacher. So he pass fail. So, I mean, I kind of have to do a little bit of work here and there. Then
yeah,
he looked past, so it's fine.
But I can imagine a teacher just being like, okay, you're going to an incubator program in New York to launch your startup. I think we can find a way to make this work.
Yeah, we're not messing around.
We can find a way to make this work. Yeah, it's not like you're going on vacation to do nothing. You are going to be probably working way harder in this program than you would ever be working. We can find ways to get you credits for whatever you need back here in the state of Washington. Yeah. Talk a little bit about you know, teachers listening to this saying, oh great, here comes another AI for kids to cheat, here comes another AI that are going to allow kids to not have to write anymore. And I'm sure you've heard these. Talk about like, what is your focus with this AI? It's not an idea to replace the AI class, but really to be a tutor. Talk about that for a little bit.
I think, you know, that was one of like the early like issues we faced, right? So if you go to ChatGPT right now and ask it to, okay, give me this answer to this question, it'll just do it for you. And it has no, you know, remorse or anything like that. It'll just
do it for you.
Yeah. But biggest thing here is I remember this so well because I was on call with Purdue as well. We were having one of our meetings and we were thinking, and he was trying it out. He was messing with it, right? Because this is one of the first times he's seen it and he was messing with it. And then he was like, okay, wait, this just gave me the answer, man. Like, how can we fix this? And then from there, I was like, okay, yeah. So I had to address that. So essentially, when you talk to ChatGPT, what ChatGPT just tells the models that, okay, you're supposed to help the student wherever you can.
Right.
So you're supposed to help the user wherever you can.
Right.
But what our AI does is we change it to you're supposed to help the student learn, which is a big difference because if you just ask ChatGPT, like I said, it will just give you the answer straight up. But our AI will at least try 3 or 4 times to explain the concept to you as many times as possible before before it actually ends up giving you the answer and then explains that, right? So that was like a big thing that we did. We also have another thing within one of our features called follow-up questions, right? And Purdue can explain this a little better than I can. So Purdue, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. It's basically basically the thought process of the AI, right? Mm. So when a student is currently prompting that like ChatGPT to do something, ChatGPT's prompt process is like, yeah, cool, spit out the answer in the best, most possible way you can, right?
Yeah.
Our process is different because what Abhay's done, he's altered how the way it thinks to be like, no, you're not giving the answer. You're going to train it based off these factors and tell it, no, you're going to break it down. And we do that so we can basically replicate a tutor in a virtual setting. Mm-hmm. Now, what a tutor does right now is, let's say it's a math equation, right? They break down the math equation to its base concept using simple examples like, I don't know, gummy worms or cookies or whatever.
Yeah.
Right? So kids can understand, which is what a tutor does. And then the kids understand the base concept and then they go back to the equation, apply the same terminology, and then students most likely understand the equation. Now, we do the same thing by having the user prompt the AI stuff like, explain to me like a 5-year-old, or give me a Gen Z example, or literally, I don't understand. Because 90% of times, kids just don't understand, right? So by prompting the AI that, we're telling the AI like, okay, this person doesn't understand this, re-explain it to them in a different way. Mm-hmm. And so it goes through a bunch of these filters to try to explain to the user how to answer the question rather than telling it to you. And these filters is what ChatGPT doesn't have. That kind of makes us unique in that sense.
I love that.
ChatGPT was made to be general, right?
Right.
So when one of the things that we're doing is being AP specific, right? So that's one of the things that we have to consider when making this thing. That's what we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. The biggest issue teachers have is like, oh, this is a shortcut for students so they don't prevent learning. This is really a shortcut for teachers. from what the from the teachers we have, list features we've added, like AutoGrader especially, our goal is to save you so much time in grading so you just don't grade. So we're saving you time, but we're making sure that students still learn because that's your job, right?
And the AutoGrader program that you have embedded in Professor AI is actually pulling from the AP rubrics to do the grading, right?
So yeah, a little more on that. We also have support for AP rubrics, like you just mentioned. So to any AP history teachers out there, you know, SAQs, LEQs, DBQs, FRQs, we support them all. So if, you know, you asked to grade this SAQ or a student asked, okay, can I get feedback on my SAQ or can you help me write this SAQ? And it pulls directly from the AP rubrics. So all of our content is, again, non-hallucinated and it has direct reference to those rubrics. So whenever crafting any responses, grading, it has 100% knowledge of it. And on top of that, we make sure to stay up to date on all rubrics. So as I know, this year, APUSH updated their rubrics, right? And so, you know, that's one example of how we changed our rubrics to update the most relevant content. And so that's how we maintain AP relevancy.
It's really great because, like, it literally tells you, hey, you got the complexity point or you didn't based off X factors pulled directly from the rubric, right? And by mentioning that, it's just really helpful because teachers, it gives you so much good feedback that teachers could not spend because they have, you guys have 300 students to worry about. Right. But if an AI does it like accurately and properly, we can give each person individualized feedback, which is really great.
And talk a little bit about, because for teachers listening here to kind of to even think about what this thing is doing, if a student, and Abhay, you can explain it better than I can, but basically the way I understand it is if a student asks a question about something specific, not only will it try and support the student in learning that, but it will go to the textbooks that it's trained on and it will literally pull up the page and say, oh, you need to learn more about, you know, this period of history. Here's the page right out of the textbook to get you started. Exactly. Can you kind of talk about that? Yeah.
So let's just say, I'll give you an example, right? So for all the AP World teachers out there, Unit 3, that's Gunpowder Empires, right? Land-based empires. So if I say, okay, you know, I have a test on the Gunpowder Empires tomorrow, what's some key points that I need to remember? Like, what's the biggest thing? How did they expand? Things like that. I'll just type exactly that into Professor AI. It'll pull resources from the textbooks and it'll tell you, okay, pages 178, 372 in chapter 3, this is what we pulled. This is what each page says. And it'll be like, okay, so this is what you need to study for your test tomorrow. Review these key points and this is where those pages are. And I'll give you direct citations to them.
Oh my gosh.
That's kind of one of the big things that we do.
Well, and it's huge because that's one of the biggest issues that people have with most of these large language models is they don't cite their sources, right? They don't tell you where you got your information from so that you've been able to train this thing. So not only does it say, here are some key points, but here, if you go and look at page 197, here's where you can learn about these key points and understand the impact or the significance of those key points.
And we do that with our web resources as well, right? It doesn't give you Wikipedia links. It goes straight to Khan Academy and tells you, hey, this is the perfect article for you to read on it, right? And it does that for every single one of its sources. So like if they're trying to do a research project or actually trying to learn, it's not inaccurate sources.
I love that. So you had the website up. Right now you are taking waiting lists as we are recording this in March. When this comes out in April, hopefully we'll be, you might have a beta out at that point, your minimum viable product, your MVP will be out there at this point. But talk a little bit, how many people do you have on the waiting list and how are people finding you and learning about this so far?
Lots of ways. We just like put a post out on LinkedIn. That's about it. We didn't do anything else. We haven't done marketing. We're like 200 people on the first day signing up. And we're like, oh, wow, that's crazy. Like we didn't do any marketing or anything. I think now we're close to like, what, 500 to 1,000, something like that. I bet. Wow. Is that right?
Last time I checked, it was like somewhere in the 700s.
700 people. So,
I don't know. We've gone some good press. We've gone about 2-3 articles written about us. Some big places too. I mean, people are finding us from all sorts of places. Word of mouth is going really well. A lot of students from all over me like, oh, well, I've heard of you sometime.
Other day. Well, and talk about that too. You've got a Discord with a free marketing team of other high school kids that are supporting you across different states.
Yeah. I mean, our team is close to about 25 people now, something like that.
Wow.
We have about 8 or so developers on Abe's side that he takes care of everything development-wise. on the marketing side of things, we have about 15 people. We have about 10 or so social media marketing interns across the country making content for us. We have people writing blogs, you know, to help students and teachers out further, more organic growth. We have a full team of content writers to make personalized study guides, practice quizzes to go on our learning platforms.
Yeah.
A lot of people helping out on this product.
And what's the oldest employee you have?
I mean, I guess our CIO, Aditya. So.
And how old is he?
No. I'm older than him. So it's me.
Oh, and okay. How old are you? 17?
I'm 17.
Yeah, the oldest employee is 17 years old.
I'm the oldest.
That's just incredible. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for stopping by. ProfessorAI.co. We will have links to that in the show notes for anybody that wants to go and check it out. And if you do go there and the wait list is still up, please do just sign up for the wait list. And then that'll let you know as soon as the product is ready. You guys have been working really hard on it. It's been great to continue to check in with you and to support you in any little small way that I can from the outside and getting your voice out there. Because I think it's one of these opportunities that is a niche product that is serving a purpose for students. And I think that is so cool, you know, created by kids who know what the problems are, who know what AP students are facing, and then finding a way to try and solve that problem and that we just happen to be in the era of AI and it's all kind of coming together for you. I think it's just so great for you to get out there. And so ProfessorAI.co, again, links in the show notes. If you are driving your car while you're listening to this, it's the first place you need to go when you get to your classroom in the morning. Just go check out the website. I guarantee you won't be disappointed. And I hope we get to stay in contact when you're in New York. I will probably be bugging you via text message saying, what's going on? How are things going? And I'm excited. It would be kind of cool if you guys are in New York in the incubator program while you're launching your product. That's got to be pretty cool. It's been great to get to know you and just to be a part of it. As we have, you know, there's thousands of educators that listen to this podcast. What do you need from them? Like, how can other educators across the US and across the world support you in this endeavor? What are something that educators can do for you?
I would say just sign up for our wait list and feedback, right?
Yeah.
We have a lot of features coming out for you guys and for students, you know. We're trying to be an all-in-one platform in that sense. So the more feedback you guys can give, like, hey, this worked really well, or hey, this prompt didn't work that well. You know, we're trying to work on the niche things. Like right now, one of the biggest things we're working on is fine-tuning our grading system. Because sometimes, like, between a 1, like 1.5 and a 2 on an SAQ, like it still gets messed up. Or between a 5 and a 6, because that's a pretty big jump. Yeah. And so we're training our model to fine-tune on the small things. And so as you guys as educators, you guys will notice way more of those. So we have a full feedback system in there. So just giving us feedback, how can we improve, how to fix it? This worked great. This didn't really work great, right? I think that's the biggest thing you could help us with. And also we're trying to get into schools. So if you think this is a good product for your school to have, you know, please reach out to us. We'd love to talk and work with you guys.
I love
that. Okay, you have anything else to add?
No, I was going to say, give us a bunch of feedback.
That's what we need right now. Like any other startup, that feedback button is almost the most important part of the entire platform. And that's really where you guys are now, right? It's fine tuning these bugs. It's just trying to get this thing in there. I mean, you guys are really close to launching. Because what's your goal right now for a launch date?
April 1st, hopefully.
April 1st. Okay. Good. So hopefully, as people are listening to this, it's launched, they can go in and give it a play and start giving you some feedback and stuff. As we get ready to wrap this up, is there any other place that people should be following you other than on the wait list on the website, social media, any other place that they should be looking for? We will make sure we link in and PK, I'll have you send me the articles because I think it's great for teachers to read some of those articles. We'll make sure those are in the show notes as well. And then are you on the social medias? I'm going to take it you are.
Yeah. Instagram, Twitter, ProfessorAI.co. Give us a follow. Just stay up to date.
Awesome. Well, thank you, gentlemen. Really appreciate you taking time. Good luck in New York. And maybe we'll do a follow-up podcast when you get back from New York and you can tell us about your experience. And who knows, by then you'll probably be worth $3 million or something like that. So we'll see. We'll see how things go. So thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.